As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, thank you for this special day in the life of the church. We are reminded how the Holy Spirit changes lives, taking frightened hearts and giving them hearts of courage. We know that your Spirit moves over the face of the earth, creating in disciples' hearts the desire to be bold for you. Lord, we can be certain that you, who began a good work within us, will continue until it is finished on the day when your Son, our Lord Jesus, returns. And we ask this always in the name and in the power and in the authority of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Getting to Know You is a show tune written by Rodger and Hammerstein. And Deborah Carr in the 1956 film adaptation, and y'all remember that one? You do? She plays Anna, remember, and what was the name of the movie? Anna and the King of Siam, right. And who played the king? Oh yeah, Yul Brynner. Remember the dancing scene with the, anyhow, it doesn't matter. So she's a British school teacher who has been hired as a governess, and she's singing this song as she's learning how to be in relationship, getting to know the children and the wives, of which he had more than one, of the King of Siam. So the basic chorus is one many of us know. You want me to sing it? Okay. I can't do it. Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. I love this. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. One more line. When I am with you, getting to know what to say. Thank you. I could sing this entire sermon if you like. I'll just do a little Gregorian chant here. So, in other words, what was that? A little song. Oh, you want me to do the dancing? Oh, you guys are hard. You're a hard group. You can help me? Oh, you want? Oh, my God. You want to dance? We could do a dance. Never mind, guys. Hang on a minute. Okay. So, in other words, this is about deepening and discovering relationships. All three readings, Acts, Romans, and John's Gospel, are about getting to know the third aspect of God, the Holy Spirit, which is often called the shy one of the Trinity. See, we know who God is, and we know what God does, creator of heaven and earth, and we know God, the Son, Jesus, who lived and died as one of us, taught, healed, and suffered. Jesus is God with skin on. But the Holy Spirit, that is another kettle of fish. On the day of Pentecost, we get to know more about the nature and work of the Spirit. What I really love about the day of Pentecost is that the culture, it's largely ignored in the culture. It's always ignored in the culture. I've never seen anything in Walmart that said, buy this red shirt to celebrate the day of Pentecost. I've never seen it. So I appreciate that. So the Holy Spirit comes in such a way that no one could possibly have missed it. And we hear from Acts, it came suddenly from heaven, a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house, and tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Spirit. They began to speak in other languages. And it's not unlike a similar experience of the Spirit to the Hebrews in Exodus. And in this story, the Mount Sinai began spewing smoke and fire and loud blasts from the trumpet. And the people were terrified, and they stayed at a distance. Centuries later, that same Spirit, a supernatural power, was showered on these 120 believers who were gathered in this room. And it came in, and it showed the majesty and the splendor of the Spirit. And in this case, there wasn't any trembling. They didn't run away. They didn't get scared. Instead, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, filled everybody. So at Mount Sinai, the Spirit came down in one place. On Pentecost, the Spirit came down on many. Before this day, these men and women were followers of Jesus. After Pentecost, they became one with Christ. They were united with him. They no longer lived, but Christ lived in them. And they were never called followers after that. They were called disciples. And such is the power of the Holy Spirit designed to help us work out what God is working in us. That's the principle. We work out what God is working in us. That is the divine flame of the Trinity. Scripture assures us that the Holy Spirit is not a generic force, a one-size-fits-all, but a person, a relationship, a spirit that has particular manifestations and gives itself to each one of us uniquely so that the understanding and strength that we receive is geared to help us in our own particular struggles. So it's unique to every individual. In the gospel, Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit is truth. And this same Spirit will teach us everything and remind us of everything that Jesus has said to us. Teacher has an ability to teach. Paul's understanding, which he describes in the 8th chapter of Romans, is that the Holy Spirit directs our lives. The Spirit doesn't take away our initiative or make it impossible for us to resist sin, which is turning away from Creator, but makes it possible for us to be in an ongoing and deepening relationship with God through Christ. At Pentecost, the Spirit came as wind and fire, forces of nature that everyone has seen, felt, and experienced. And it came as the sound of a violent wind. You know how we get these spring storms here? And the spring storms, they come and they shake the trees and they shake the dirt off the roots. It's part of what they do. The winds were evidence of God's supremacy and authority and shook the disciples. It woke them up. It got their attention. They were now fully alive. The external, what's happening on the outside, had now become internal. In other words, they incarnated the power of the Spirit. And then what happened? Tongues of fire rested on each of them. Fire represents purity in Scripture. It burns away anything and everything. And in the hearts of disciples, it burnt away their previous selves. After Pentecost, they went from believing in God to believing God. See that one little word? Believing in God to believing God. They move from believing to experiencing. Right? Moving from believing to experiencing. They move from sensation to sanctification. And from working in their own strength to working and witnessing in Christ's strength. The power of the Christian gospel was in them. They're working out what Pentecost worked in them. For the first time, they were Christians, not just called. They weren't acting like Christians anymore. Why don't you act like a Christian? Well, I got to say, sometimes you got to fake it till you make it. That's the thing. We are not Christians because our parents were, or because we hang out with believers, or our families have been in this church or any other church for generations. Being a Christian is not about having something that can rub off on you. So if I come to Taras and we do this, I'm not going to do that, Taras. It doesn't make me more of a Christian. It may make him slightly uncomfortable, but it doesn't make me more of a Christian. Being a Christian is not about reciting a creed or developing some kind of formula. If A, then B, then C. Paul states in Romans 8, 9 to 10, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And if you looked at, you go all the way back to Genesis, what happened at Genesis? We had the Spirit of living breathed into human beings, the breath. The coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell within means that we are able to display holiness by our Christian witness. And this refers to our character. So character is who we are in the dark when nobody's looking. The character of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And how that happens is we are in situations, if you want to learn the character of the Holy Spirit, I can tell you, you're going to be put in a situation where you need to be patient. You're going to be put in a situation where you need to be faithful. You might even be put in a situation where it requires self-control. No, you can't yell at that person. If we want power and our own agenda, Holy Spirit's not for us. If we desire only to satisfy our desires, then the Holy Spirit isn't for us. If we only want what we want when we want it, Holy Spirit's not for us. Evidence of the growing of holy character is a number of things. How we trust others. I have some trust issues, so I'm always struggling with that, and the Holy Spirit's always putting me in situations where I have to grow in my trust. How we treat others. Holy Spirit puts me in situations with people that bug me. And I don't get the luxury of being an idiot. How we spend our money. What are our priorities? How we talk to and about our neighbors. How we trust God. How we worship God. When we come to worship, remember, it's worship service. You see, worship is also part of service. Again, what is first in your life? The people of the first Pentecost lived their lives in a different way. Their theology was not what I can get for myself or how it is going to benefit me in the here and now. In modern terms, that is called transactional. Has anybody heard that term lately? Like a lot. Their theology was one of eternity. I'm not too sure we have that theology. Of the eternal, of heaven, of keeping their eyes off self and on Jesus. They knew the message, and they became the message. And remember, some people, you're going to be the only Bible they ever see or hear. They truly became Christ's witnesses, telling people about Jesus everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Here's the thing. Their lifespan was half of what ours is. They knew they did not have long on this earth. And their expectation was that Jesus was coming back in their lifetimes. So there was this urgency to be in right relationship with the Lord and with others. And the older I get, the more I want to be in right relationship with the Lord and with the people around me. Life in the Spirit goes way beyond working at a specific task for the church, what it is that we do for God. It is always about what God does for us and in us. We're working out what God is working in us. The Holy Spirit comes so that God can work a miracle in our lives. And here's the thing. I believe that the miracle God is we're looking for is conversion. Kind of a touchy word. God gave us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, not so we could be the same people, not so we could only live by our desires. God gave us the indwelling spirit so that we could, and this is from Paul, rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And strength of character strengthens our hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. It's a gift, pure gift. For first century Christians, suffering was the rule, not the exception. If they weren't starving, if they weren't being beaten for not paying their taxes. We too experience difficulties, but they help us to grow. You know, when times are good, it's not an issue. You put some pressure. When times are going bad, that's when your faith is challenged. Has anyone found that to be the case? When you're going through something and you think there is no way out, I have a little arrow prayer for you. Lord, lift the veils so I might see what is really happening here. And it is not about, and let me not be intoxicated by my stories and my fears. If anybody wants that, I can text that to you. It's a great little prayer. The love that caused Christ to die is the same love that sends the Holy Spirit to live in us and guide us every day. We got the Spirit living in us. The power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that saved us and is available to us in our daily walk with the Lord. We are complete in Christ, yet we are still growing. So we have both, right? We're complete, but we're still growing. And the work given to the disciples propelled them onto the world stage. And they were eyewitnesses to the saving power of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they experienced the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And today, that power hasn't diminished. That power hasn't gone away. That is the same power. Today, we can experience a life-changing force of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to live lives of defeat. We don't have to be at the mercy of the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. We were designed with God in mind. We were made to fulfill God's purpose. We were made for mission, to receive and accept that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the head of this church, the author of our salvation, and the giver of blessings. To those whose hearts are open. See, if your hands are like this, you can't receive. We open your hands. We can be blessed. We are a Pentecost people. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons. Neither our fears for today. Nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, enter our silence. Come, Holy Spirit, into the depth of our longings. Come, Holy Spirit, our friend. Come, Holy Spirit, unmask our pretending. Come, Holy Spirit, expose our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, sustain our weakness. Come, Holy Spirit, redeem our creation. Enter our trusting, enter our fearing. Enter our letting go, enter our holding back. Flood our barren spaces. Make fertile our deserts within. Break us and heal us, liberator of our desires. Come, Holy Spirit, embrace us and free us. In Jesus' name, amen.